510-0460 today.
The phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS, and it's a Happy New Year, and we've got a loaded studio today. This is Carl Bott. Welcome to a new year of Free Fire Radio. Phone lines here, 221-1402, and we've got a busy show today. We've got Highway Patrol. We've got elk poaching opponents. We've got eviction notices for people in our town we're going to be talking about. But first, let me introduce you to our crew, our posse, our group. Producer Kelly Frost Jr., Happy New Year, Kelly.
Hey, Happy New Year. Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
What'd you do on New Year's Eve?
I just kind of hung out with some friends and had a good time.
That's right. You didn't drink or anything, though, right?
No.
No, okay, good. Yeah, right, yeah. He's got this sign over his head that says, "Turn me over in the morning, I'm done." And, of course, my partner, my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We have some great, wonderful guests in the studio today.
We do. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now. I mean, you look at what's going over in the Middle East with Israelis and Palestinians going in, the Israelis going into Gaza. That's huge. You're looking at a big fight in Congress, whether they should seat a senator. But we've got even bigger things around here in our local, but also state. So we want to start off with our first guest is
Officer Hoyer.
Officer Hoyer, Kurt Hoyer from the California Highway Patrol. And what he's going to talk about is all these new laws that are going to affect you. So, Kurt, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
So I know about one law that was passed last year has impacted on our family, and that's the not talking while you're on the cell phone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I got cited once and pulled over a second time, so I've already had to pay my dues.
Cited by a highway patrolman who saw her from the opposite side, crossed over, and came after her.
On five.
Probably had nothing to do with her flying low that day.
No. But I'll tell you what. You know what? I was guilty.
Yeah.
So, you know here's the law. Don't talk on the phone. I was talking on the phone.
Yeah, within 3 months, the first 3 months of the law, we had already issued 20,000 citations for that law. So.
Oh, right. And you think we need money. You think Sacramento needs money. Just turn them loose. Hey, look, we've got to take a quick break here. We've got a full show, like I said. We're going to be talking about new laws. We're going to be talking about how to stop, you know, some new facts on this elk poaching that occurred. But also the big story right now is we're evicting our fellow residents here in Redding because they can't pay their utilities. But we're going to be talking about that in a bit. But first, we've got to take a quick break here. This is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You're listening to Carl Linda Bott here on 1400 KQMS. We have a special guest this morning, Officer Kurt Hoyer.
Good morning.
What are the laws? We've got new laws. It's 2009. What's going on with the texting stuff?
Texting, good place to start. There was a little kind of a little loophole in the law that said that you couldn't talk on the phone, but it didn't make it illegal to text while driving. Now the law's been in place for the youngsters. Anybody under 18 couldn't use their phone in any fashion or any way of communication, laptop, any of that kind of stuff. And this basically says that nobody can do that. Nobody can use that two-way communication, whether it be a laptop, BlackBerry, anything.
I cannot believe I have seen people riding down the freeway texting.
Yeah.
Come on. It makes you want to do something. We're having strange noises in the studio.
Okay, what else? What else is up?
Well, and real quick, you know, I just want to touch on one more thing with this because there's a lot of people out there thinking, well, you know, it's going to be impossible for them to catch me on this, you know, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. What people need to be aware of is that if they're involved in a collision, we can subpoena those records and find out if they were texting. And this very incident happened up by Shingletown last year where we had a gal burned to death because somebody was texting while driving. So
yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So it's something that people need to be aware of. It's, you know, a lot of these laws are put in place so that, you know, there's some liability to driving. I mean, it's a privilege, and you don't want to abuse it. So the second one that I wanted to bring up was the fact that if anybody who's been arrested for driving under the influence and is on probation for that violation, and part of their probation is that they not drive with alcohol and blood, which is pretty much 100%. If they're caught with any measurable amount in their system, then their driver's license will be taken right then, be suspended for a year, and will tow their car. So
that is that something that's been increased as far as the penalty?
Correct. There used to be, you know, we couldn't arrest you or take your car or suspend your license or any of that. That had to be an administrative action. But now on the roadside, we'll just go ahead and do all that.
Pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Let's just get down to it.
Yeah, discourage.
Take drunk drivers off the road.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
No problem there.
And the last one that I want to bring up that's probably will affect a lot of people, especially after Christmas here with these GPSs. A lot of people got GPSs for their cars. I got one too. I'm pretty excited about it.
Kind of
cool. Kind of cool.
Especially when her voice is working.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What this one says basically is that you can't mount it in the center of the windshield. It's got to be either in the lower right-hand corner or the lower left-hand corner. That's where you need to place that on the windshield so that it's not an obstruction to your view.
But preferably on the dash.
Well, if it's going to be in the windshield area, then it needs to be either the left, lower left or lower right.
But not in the middle of the dash.
Correct.
Oh.
Correct. So that's the ones that are going to affect most people.
Well, that's okay. Mine doesn't. I can't get it to stay in the middle of the dash anyway. You know, I have to hold it so it looks like a cell phone. It looks like I'm texting. I'll probably get pulled over and arrested for something.
Oh, well, that's really good information because everywhere you look, it's in the middle, and I have one that's already in my car, but it's
well, that's obviously different.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow. Okay. Is there any other, like, any last words you have here, officer, about people, things we might be doing or not doing that we got to watch out? I know that one big law was you can't assault Caltrans workers.
Yeah, that's right.
During their while they're doing their job, even though they may be complete asses to you. You can't get out of the car. You can't take the stop sign. They're waving at you and smack them with it. Is that what you're trying to tell
that's
us?
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the 911 system, there's also a fine now for if you abuse that system. So,
well, that should be.
Yep, it should have been in place a long time ago.
You hear all these funny things about people calling 911 about how long should I cook the turkey?
Right, you know? Right. They didn't give me my burger like I wanted it or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So abuse of the 911 system. Will cost, you know.
Well, yeah. Kurt, you promised to come back every time there's a something new in the books and let us know about it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me in.
Okay, thank you. Our special guest today is Kurt Hoyer, Officer Kurt Hoyer, and
California Highway Patrol.
That's exactly right. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. It's 38 degrees and 817. We'll see you on the other side.
It's right between the summer sheen.
Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, one of the things, the officer said is on his way out. He's on his way to do something else here. But one of the things he said was, it's funny. He says, nobody argues with us when they get caught with the cell phone. And that's why it's kind of hard to argue with. You've got it in your ear.
No, I mean, you're busted.
They're busted.
Okay.
And
guilty.
But the other thing, too, is you know, I would just kind of look into it and say, beam me up, Scotty, and then say it's not working. But I guess not. Hey, our next guest, something a little more serious here. Mike Torres, he was from the California Deer Association, is here to talk about this poaching of this beautiful bull elk by people unknown who just slaughtered it. And he's going to talk a little bit about that and talk about what's going on. So, Mike, welcome aboard here.
Good morning, Carl.
So, talk to us about the elk poaching.
Well, Carl, on November 17th, about 3 o'clock in the morning on the Rutherford Ranch on Oak Run Road, a magnificent bull elk was poached about 3 o'clock in the morning. The ranchers immediately called Fish and Game, and they went up there, and the culprit who did this just cut off the head and the antlers and left the rest of the elk there. So the California Deer Association, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and the Mule Deer Foundation are assisting the Department of Fish and Game with a reward amount for the cow chip and also trying to get some public awareness out there and hopefully catch the person that's responsible for this.
Well, you know, I know when it hit the paper, it just, I mean, there was lots and lots of blogs. And you know, and it should be, because it was a beautiful animal that somebody just took out, like you said, at 3 a.m. in the morning. And they did it strictly for a trophy. They did it illegally. And what that does is it impacts on all of us, you know, whether you believe it or not. It impacts on us, because if you're not a hunter, you know, people that are anti-hunting, anti-guns, it just gives them more fodder for their little machinery that they're constantly grinding things out on. And so the ability to do something about this and follow through on this is something that we support wholeheartedly.
When did this incident occur?
That was on November 17th, about 3 o'clock in the morning.
So what's going on now? We've got a number of people involved in it.
Yeah, Officer Dwayne Little of the Department of Fish and Game is the lead investigating officer. He has several tips out there, but they're kind of drying up right now, and we'd like to really get the public involved in this. You know, people that do crimes like this are basically driven by ego. He saw that magnificent bull in a closed area, out of season, at night, behind no trespassing signs, and he wantonly killed this magnificent bull. But someone driven by ego like that has to tell someone. I mean, that's what we're hoping for. And hopefully a friend of a friend will call CalTIP and try to get that $2,500 reward that we're posting for this.
And as much as you hate to say it, too, is that it's probably a local that's seen this bull. And that's or am I wrong about this?
More than likely. Oak Run Road is not a widely traveled road, but the locals up there, all the locals, all the ranchers, know where these elk are, and these elk thought they were safe. They're in a closed area, out of season, and it's just a horrible crime against this magnificent bull. These elk were transplanted in the Bully Mine area on Squaw Creek in 1910, so they've been up there for 99 years, and then to have a magnificent herd bull like this poached out of this herd is just... it's just unfathomable to our organizations.
Has this happened? Is this poaching something that I know that this got a lot of attention, but is there other poaching incidents that have happened that you know of? Is it increasing, decreasing, staying the same? What?
They happen, but they're generally not quite as obvious or traumatic as this one. Poaching is sort of a crime of opportunity and crime driven by economics and or ego. But this one really stands out because of the trophy quality of this bull. It didn't really damage the herd genetics for that small group of elk. There are other bulls out there, but this was the dominant herd bull.
Well, now there's rewards offered, right? And there's phone numbers, and there's ways for people to reach you and the investigator.
Yes, the standard CalTIP phone number, which is 1-888-334-2258. But an easier way to remember that is 1-888-CALTIP, or CDF CalTIP. That's CDF CalTIP. And if someone calls in with information, they need to reference Officer Dwayne Little or the Shasta County Poached Elk. That way they'll get the appropriate reward. It's an increased award amount. And donations are coming in as we speak. And donations can be made at Jones Fort. You can contact Patrick Jones at Jones Fort here in Redding on East Cypress, and the check should be made out to CalTIP.
So what we're going to do is we're going to put this on our website so we can have this number out for everybody. It'll be under we'll have it under the elk poaching, or we'll have it under something like that, so people can get a hold of the CalTIP people, can read a little bit more about this so that they can assist.
And it's great to have you on, because we want to keep this on everybody's radar. Don't let it just go away because it hasn't been newsworthy actually in print. That's why you're here today. Thank you so much for sharing this information. Any closing thoughts?
Just give us a hand catching who's responsible for this. All these three conservation organizations, the California Deer Association, the Mule Deer Foundation, and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, we're basically a volunteer-based group of conservationists. Many of our members are hunters, but we need the public's help trying to catch who's responsible for this. It's a criminal act, and it's unfathomable, and it's just unethical, and we want it stopped.
So if you know of anybody out there that all of a sudden has a brand new elk head on their wall or in their garage, probably, you might want to take a look and see how they got that. You know, it may not be a friend of yours, but it may be somebody's friend that you heard about or, you know, three times removed. So if you do, just give CalTIP a call. Again, like I said, we'll have that CalTIP number on our website, freefireradio.com. Hey, Mike, we really appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you, Carl, and help us help the elk. We appreciate your help.
All right, no problem. Okay, now we've got a few minutes here before the break. I want to talk about something that happened. You know, one of our guests that's been on our show a couple of times is a woman named Shauna Ford. Shauna is a director of Minutemen American Defense that works along the border. And what they do, what their group does, is they patrol the border. They report any people coming across the border to to responsible authorities. Now, whether you agree with it or not, that's a that's up to you. You know, I believe in two things. You know, a country is defined by two things: a common language and a border. And if you don't have a border, then you don't have a country. And if people just keep coming across there for whatever reason, without us keeping track of it, then we've lost control of our country. And I'm not even going to talk about terrorism. I'm just talking about what's going on inside our country. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, Shauna Ford's house was invaded, and her husband was shot 3 times. While he wasn't killed, he was in very serious condition with a breathing apparatus. Last week, she was home, and another home invasion occurred, and she was beaten severely. She was raped and slashed with a knife numerous times. And she has survived that, and she is in a hospital. But, you know, no matter what you think about the Minutemen American Defense, there's no reason for this. I mean, there was no reason to assault and try to kill these two people. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. We've got to take a break here in the half hour. This is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. Now, the thing about Shauna Ford and Minutemen's American Defense Organization is that somebody obviously tracked them down to where they live. They don't live in California. They live up in Washington State. And when this happened, so it's a horrible thing. They tried to kill the husband. They could have killed her. They could have killed her, but they didn't. They just punished her as a warning. So, I mean, this has happened inside our country. I mean, we can talk. I mean, there are so many things that are going on in Mexico. So many hundreds of policemen have been killed this year. So many thousands have been killed due to drugs and everything else that's going on now. Is it starting to happen? They start targeting people that want to take our country and protect our country? I have a real problem with this one. Another thing I have a real problem with, something I saw in the paper yesterday. We're talking about the number of Reading homes and apartments that are being tagged without power has grown a lot this year, as you can imagine, with the economy. But because of that, they've started, when the city shuts off utilities, and I didn't realize this till earlier, until last year, was that when they shut off the utilities, they can evict you from your home. Now, what's going on here that already their utilities are shut off? So here's a person or a family, and here's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing an older family, or maybe a wife with a couple of kids, and she's got X amount of dollars to feed her kids and to keep a roof over their head, and just the utility bills have piled up. So now what they've done is, okay, let's just shut it off and evict them from their apartment, even if they've paid for the rent for this apartment. Well, this hit the paper yesterday, and you know I joke about the number of blogs you see. You know, I talk about the girls in Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, that had one of the most hits. I think they had the second most hits, or maybe the most hits that the Reading Searchlight has ever had. And I talk about people shooting dogs. That's another huge one. But this one had 400 and was still growing. And one of the things they talked about was a group meeting down there where the city council is for a candlelight vigil, and to go in and tell the city council what we think about this. You know, I know that people should pay their bills. I understand that. But I also understand parts about people not being able to keep up with it. I also understand the fact is that Reading, one of the reasons that Linda and I love this town, so we take care of each other. Yeah, we argue and we have problems, but you usually take care of each other. And I'm having a problem with this, and we're saying it's only 20 families, but 20 families being evicted. If we can't take care of 20 families via our city with all the amount of money we spend here on things, Why can't we help this? Why do we have to throw people out of their homes? Now, we've got a number of people calling in right now, so let's go to the first one. Jeremy, good morning.
So you still got my business for 5 more months.
Really?
Hey, Jeremy, you're on.
Good morning. Yeah, the reason I'm calling is that almost happened to me. I was self-employed, and my clients were late getting me a check.
Yeah.
I was late getting a check to the utilities. I actually got the money that very day. My wife called me up in tears saying, you know, and this was in the heat of the summer, saying, hey, they turned off the electricity. I said, I got the money in the bank, take it down. It took us $900 to get us turned back on. And if we didn't come up with the $900, like, immediately, we were going to get evicted. Now, fortunately, I had some people I could turn to, but if I hadn't, have, we would have lost our home, and that would have been it.
Well, you know, and so, but and how late were you?
I was about 2 weeks late because I was waiting on that check.
Okay.
And so your utility bill was $900, or was that just the fee to reconnect it?
It was to reconnect it. The utility bill was about $200.
So they can also, they could have then made the next steps if you hadn't paid that, is to force you out of your home, right?
Oh, yeah. That was on the way. And it was in July. You can't stay in a home without electricity in this area without, you know, air conditioning.
Well, I do know that, well, no, you can't. You're absolutely right, Jeremy. So
you would have had to move either way.
And I understand if you say you're not going to leave, they can put a $2,500 a day fine on you. Did you know that?
Know about that.
Yeah, well, I saw that also in the article. Hey, Jeremy, I'm glad it turned out for you.
Yeah, we were fortunate. I just was really surprised by how punitive they are about it. You know how they really can really destroy your life real quick if you don't come up with that utility bill.
You know, it's funny. You think about how your life can be destroyed by so many things, a drunk driver, you know, something like that. But not paying utilities, having your family kicked out of your home, that it could be even your, I mean, it could be a single family dwelling, and that you've been, you know, you've been making your mortgage payments, but they force you out of your own home.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much. We got the phone lines lit up.
Thanks for sharing, Jeremy.
Thank you. Russell, good morning.
Morning, Carl. How are you today?
Hey, we're doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just listening to your topic there, talking about people being able to put out of their house if their utilities are turned off. And it's just one of the areas that if you look at, it's one of the ways that our government that's always talking about how can we alleviate the homeless problem. This is one of the areas where they contribute to it.
It looks like the, you know, they forced 20 family households to leave until their power was restored. You know, most of the ones they're talking about were empty already, so I'm not concerned about that. You know, that just happens. But people that were shut, you know, that were forced out, I feel are probably those at, in the part of the, spectrum, the economic spectrum, that they're just living on the edge as it is. So anything could have nudged them over there, and then they lose where they live.
And when you look at the economic situation in this country right now with the number of jobs, I mean, every week we're looking at record numbers of jobs being lost.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're looking at, I mean, when you start looking at this nationwide, we're getting close to millions of people being affected by things like this. And with the cost of living in California as it is now, you can just imagine just in this area how many people are living on the edge and are right there on the verge of being put out of their homes at this time of year. And the city being in a position to maybe help alleviate some of that, or maybe even the state to help alleviate that with families that are in situations where jobs are getting lost. And, you know, government programs that people have been counting on have been getting cut because of budget shortfalls.
A budget that hasn't even been passed yet by our legislatures, and I bet you none of our legislators are in danger of being evicted from their homes.
Well, you know, maybe if they started getting affected by some of this, it would get somebody's attention.
Well, that's what I've always felt. You know, unless you got to buy in there, how are you going to know how it feels? Hey, Russell, thank you so much. We got the phone lines lit up here. Cliff, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this subject. In 1964, my family and I lived in Washington in the Anchorage, Alaska, and we were involved in the largest earthquake to ever hit the North American continent. We lost everything, let alone our power, We lost our water, our heat, our power. And I, being a camper, immediately set up a Coleman stove, a Coleman lantern, and this was at 5:30 in the evening when the earthquake hit, and got my family situated that they used the patio a whole bunch, showed my wife how to melt water, melt ice, and pour it in the back of the toilet so they could continue using the toilet. And we had candles, and we lit candles for light and also for heat. And I was in the military, and I knew my position was to report to my duty station at once. And my wife and children slept through the night with these things making enough heat for them and having some ventilation to survive without having a problem. If this area had an earthquake and everybody in the city of Redding lost their power for an entire week or entire month, what would they do? Move everybody out of their homes? I think it's a ridiculous rule, and I think somebody should take some action to change it. And thank you for bringing that subject up.
Well, thank you.
And another real quick subject, and of course, I'm just going to just run this past.
Guys, quick, I got a break here. I got the phone lines lit up.
I'll be back.
No, what is it? Quick.
Oh, it's the fruitcake thing. The article in today's paper by Ron Largent is a beautiful piece of work, and I commend that man a whole bunch.
Is this about the elderly gentleman who lost his fruitcake business?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that pissed me off too.
But the article that Ron Largent did just makes so much sense. I hope you can read it and then you can react on
it.
Well,
we're going to talk about that. This is your station. This is your show, Cliff, and everybody else that's listening. You want to talk about that, you bring it up and we'll go for it.
You bet.
But thank you so much for your phone call.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Okay, look, we've got a couple people on the phone, including a gentleman that started this whole thing with this march on City Hall. This is Carl Lindebaugh here on News Talk 1400 KQMS Free Fire Radio. Join us on the other side.
Hey, we're back. It's Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Lindebaugh at 1400 KQMS, 221-1402. Martin, you are on the air.
Hey, Martin, I understand you're the one that started this fireball.
Well, I read Scott Mobley's article. I have to give him credit for starting this thing, for bringing it up.
Yeah.
But it just floored me when I was reading that the way they were throwing people out of their homes just because they couldn't pay their power bill.
Is that ridiculous?
It's totally ridiculous. And then to make an excuse for it, they say, well, they might burn their house down because they're using candles. Well, if I'm hooked up to the grid and I'm paying my bill, I can burn candles in every room all day long.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that.
You know, Linda burns candles a lot in the house. We haven't had a fire yet.
Yeah. See, that's a lame excuse for throwing people out of their home just because the powers that be are greedy and want that bill paid.
Okay, so what's going to happen? Understand that there's, you know, I have never seen, you know, talk about a grassroots movement.
Oh yeah, I was surprised that it took off like it did.
And it was across the spectrum too. I mean, usually, as you know, on those blogs, you got one side against the other, and I find it amusing a lot of times. But this was everybody.
I'm really glad to see it taking off like it is because, you know, it's the last straw. They're throwing people out of their homes because they can't afford to pay an electric bill. Well, at least they have shelter.
Yeah, you know, and you know, you're talking about somebody's home. What about a single-family dwelling? I mean, it hasn't happened yet. It's just been the people in apartments.
Right.
But they could do it. So to somebody that's paying a mortgage, has a home, or even this, they could even own that home outright.
Oh, yeah, after they slap them with a $2,500 a day penalty for however long, and then just take it.
Okay, so what's going to happen here?
Well, actually, Patricia Barrett is the one that I kind of handed it off to her because she's got organizational skills and she knows folks and all that.
Right.
I just suggested maybe it's time to march on City Hall because, as far as I'm concerned, this is the last straw. You start throwing people out of their homes because they can't pay an electric bill.
Well, I tell you what, it appears that we're talking about on February 3rd at 7 p.m.
Correct.
There's supposed to be a protest in front of the City Hall and at 7 p.m. in front of City Hall.
Exactly.
For a call of action. Now, I tell you what I see as a problem, Martin.
Yeah.
It's a month away.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
And to keep it going for a month is pretty difficult. But I think there's enough people in this community that are just disgusted, and they've been watching City Hall do things that the people haven't liked for years.
Absolutely.
I mean, such as a huge swimming pool. They said it's going to bring people. Where are all the people? You know, a big walking bridge is going to bring all these people. Where are all the people? I mean, it's just thing after thing after thing that the elite in this town push through and spend taxpayer dollars to build that the people are saying, wait a minute. But they do it anyway.
How much?
And this is like the last straw.
You know, how
people out of their homes.
How much of the 300,000 that goes to Turtle Bay every year?
I agree.
Could go. I mean, could like 5% or 2% be
right.
used to help on something like this?
They closed down the mental health place.
Oh yeah, I'm going.
They couldn't afford $1 million a year, but yet,
yeah.
Look at all these millions and millions being spent on pretty things.
Well, I tell you what, that's going to be another subject we're going to be talking about too, Martin. And I tell you what, I've got the phone lines backed up here, so.
Yeah, I understand.
But I appreciate your phone call, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, what a grassroots movement can do here in this city.
Well, this was the last straw. When you throw people out of their homes, that's too much.
I think that's it. Hey, Martin, thank you so much,
okay.
And thanks for calling.
Thank you for picking it up.
Hey, you know what? We're going to continue fighting this thing.
I agree.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.
We're going to get to your calls. It's 38 degrees here. It's 849. Keep on holding. We'll see you on the other side.
This is Carl Lindabott on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Okay, let's go to Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. I'd have to ask, what kind of a right do I have to endanger you, your life, and your property if I'm in an apartment and I don't live up to the expectations of all my neighbors?
Okay, I think you're talking about if you burn candles or something?
If you're going to be burning candles or you're going to use the barbecue inside of the house to cook your food, or if you're going to have a Coleman stove and you don't have proper ventilation. There are problems with that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. People die every year from using charcoal.
Yes. In spite of the fact that somebody in Alaska managed to survive because of an earthquake, because he was probably a lot more knowledgeable than, unfortunately, some of the people who live in today's society. It is a problem. It can be a problem because your wife burns candles because they look nice or they smell nice. When you're using it for light, the danger goes up. And how many programs does Reading Utilities have to help people pay their bills?
You know, that's a good question, but from what I understand, it does help a number of people. But some people don't qualify for just, they could be out of that zone for $4, $5, or $6 or $20. What I'm saying is you've got to, you know what, you're perfectly right. Why should we let people endanger us? So my thesis though is this. Why did it get to that point?
That's a good question. How many other charitable organizations that you don't qualify for will take care of you? There are churches. There's Salvation Army, Red Cross that constantly help people.
You're absolutely
right. There
are
a lot of things out there. How about family?
Well, some people may not have that family connection like a lot of us do.
They may not, but on the other hand, you know, heavens only knows why they're in that predicament, and it may be because the check didn't come in, as the one gentleman said. But those are issues that people have to account for. You have to have something else in the pipeline, and or start looking in advance to say, if I can't pay my bill, can I go to someone else to help take care of it? Because unfortunately, people who do something stupid in an apartment can affect a lot of other people. Thus, I guess what you'd call an urgency situation where somebody would be evicted rather than letting them stay.
Yeah.
Where in their household, it's a threat to their own property, and that way they would have to...
They have to take care of that. Hey, Mike,
they go through a hearing process.
Yes.
But
let's not
depend everything on the government taking care of us. Assume responsibility. Somewhere along the line,
somebody didn't
have the responsibility. Thank you.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for your phone call.
We have a special caller who's been waiting.
Lee, good morning.
Good morning. My comment is, how about all the people that live out in the country? I know it's not the city, but they live in the country, and they have no electricity. They live with just, you know, open flames, candles, fireplaces, and they use camp stoves to cook with, candles to live by. what's the difference?
Well, I think what they're saying is that, as the last gentleman said, Mike said, he said, those people have lived like this, they understand this, where somebody's in an apartment, their lights have been cut off, their electricity has been cut off, they may do things that are unsafe that affect the people around them. And I absolutely understand that. And he's also said about taking responsibility. I also absolutely understand that. I mean, anybody who listens to our show knows how I feel about taking responsibility for your own actions. What I'm saying is that a person could be evicted. If a person's being evicted from their home because they don't pay their bills, or their utility bill, there's got to be something there that we can help with. You know, that the city or the churches or the different groups of people here that help those less fortunate should be able to do. But you're right. I mean, people live like this, have lived like this.
Well, how about the people that own the homes that they're trying to evict? Let's say an apartment is a different situation. That's owned by somebody else, and they can set their own rules.
Yeah.
But a home that's owned by an individual they shouldn't have to be governed by a city or anybody else in the way that they live.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Lee,
electricity.
I've got 1 minute left and one more person on the phone. Thank you. Jan, you got 30 seconds. Hello. Jan,
hello?
You've got 30 seconds before we got to
go. How about the new city council lady who gave herself a raise? You know, she can pay somebody's heating bill. And how hot is City Hall? Do they freeze all day long or have to wear sweats there?
I don't think so.
Really, really irritates me. There's all kinds of places to save money, you know, and go and plant all these crazy trees.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Hey, Jan, thank you for your phone call. We've got to leave here. Thank you. Okay, hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott.
And Bill, I'm sorry that you waited so long in the line. Call tomorrow.
Yeah, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Our guest tomorrow will be Senator Sam Anastad, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, but just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?